You're listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by the National Retail Federation. Join us for a look inside the world's largest and most interesting industry. And now your host, Bill Thorne.
Welcome to another episode of Retail Gets Real, where we talk about all things retail. Everybody knows retail impacts everyone, every day, everywhere. And I'm lucky to be joined today by Tony Fontana. Hello, Tony.
Hey, Bill. Happy to be here today as well.
Well, and as I commented earlier, I appreciate your dressing up today. I'm very comfortable here in my jeans, just FYI.
Well, speaking of dressing up, we have Philip Soriano here with us today from Hue & Cry. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us, what is Hue & Cry?
Hue & Cry is a menswear brand that was started in 2009 with a simple mission that dress shirts should be fitting better. So what we did is we came up with our own sizing system that looks at body types of males across the U.S. And we basically crowdsourced a sizing system based on these body types and started selling them online and quickly saw that guys wanted to come by and try them on in store.
It's an interesting phenomenon because what you're seeing now, a lot of the retailers that started online are now going into brick and mortar and vice versa, of course. Brick and mortar are spending more time and resources into their online properties. Do you see that as a as something that's a necessity now if you want to be a competitive retailer, to have both?
Completely. We saw that early on. You know, it might be guys or just the consumer in general that just wants to stop by and see things in person. That said, they also want to shop whenever they want to or wherever they are. So that can be mean online, that can mean in store, that can also mean different experiences like pop-ups and other experiences like that.
So what did you use to create that kind of like perfect fit model when you started online? Was there a formula that you all came up with, or did you kind of take it from something else you all had seen along the way?
So it all started with my business partner researching the market and seeing that, you know, mass brands typically like to, you know, look at a medium. They have a fit model that is the medium size. And then from there, they kind of shrink it down, grade down to a small and grade up to a large. And it's done in a very linear fashion. And so once he saw that, he really noticed that, you know, guys can be broken down across the board in much more sizes than just those, you know, that one size and then graded linearly in ways that, you know, the body doesn't actually, you know, grow. And so what we did is we measured hundreds of friends, family, coworkers, and launched with an initial sizing set of 6. And then over time, we tweaked those sizes as customers came in and purchased and had feedback. So it was really a combination of, you know, getting to a 1.0 and then sort of tweaking them based on customer feedback. So we've always had the customer feedback very close to us.
When you talk about the customer, who is your customer?
That's a great question. Our customer is typically a guy who's between 25 and 40. We like to use this simple phrase that he's getting rid of his last piece of IKEA furniture. So he's you know, investing in quality. He likes to have things that last a long time. He's starting to sort of look around his life and see what you know, relationships are in his life that are quality. What is he currently buying a house? What does quality look like there? And so across the board, he's just simply making better decisions and, you know, including does his shirt fit?
So with that customer, you guys start online, you're in DC. Can you think of the most, you know, famous or the most striking person that's walked into your showroom in Navy Yard?
We like to celebrate every customer. I know that's kind of a cop out. We like to have the celebrity that, is known in DC and is known for his mind as much as his, you know, his looks and that. So for us, you know, our internal celebrities are people like, Ari Shapiro from NPR. We have some tech entrepreneurs as well. And so it's just guys who are just solid all around is what we like to focus on.
So on the online experience, how has that evolved? I mean, since you started?
So the online experience, so what we did is we were initially launched and quickly saw that, you know, guys wanted to stop by. So we also have this option to pick up in store. So we have, you know, you can have it shipped to you at home. You can come by and shop, but you can also pick it up in store. So you can order online and select local pickup and pick it up in store. So that's definitely evolved. We've also created a fit finder tool, which is two simple steps to find your fit, which has helped guys find their fit in our shirts. And then also just be a little bit more confident in their purchase.
I think at my age, it's, can you see your toes? That's an extra large.
So doing a little bit of research about you and the company, I learned your background's in finance. You went to college for it. What brought you into retail?
Yeah. So, I mean, all across, you know, my childhood or growing up, I was always involved in service-related jobs. So not necessarily retail, but restaurants primarily. And I always had this knack for small businesses and startups. When I was in college, I was helping Vapiano expand to the U.S. They're originally a German brand. And so it was always the small businesses that kind of struck me in an interesting way. And so, you know, I graduated during the crash of the stock market in 2008, and in finance, which is pretty bad. Took an accounting job, saw that, you know, that was the only thing that I could get, and accounting is always needed. And so quickly saw that, you know, I don't really like numbers as much as I like people. And so Hue and Cry was that outlet that I'd go to after 5 p.m. Pranav and I would work from 5 p.m. until midnight, just trying to get this business started. And so that was what I was moonlighting as, and it really brought me a lot of joy.
So as a retailer, you know, there's a lot of people that want to get into retail. I would say that they probably dream of an opportunity. They have an idea. They want to pursue this dream, but they don't because it's a lot of the unknown. And what should somebody do to kind of overcome that fear of the unknown and start a business like this?
Yeah, I think the best advice that Pranav gave me. So Pranav is my business partner, and he was the one who initially took the 2 feet first plunge into the pool. And you know, his main motto early on was just get it started. You know, for if you're willing to leave your job or the comforts of your day job to do that or not, the most important thing is just to get started. Throw up a website, see if people will purchase. You know, that's the biggest. Voting is people purchasing from you. You know, you can always have friends that will support you no matter what and tell you that it's a great idea, or you have that, you know, the friend that's a little bit more critical and tells you, no, it's not a great idea. But the truth comes out when you have a website up or, you know, a pop-up shop that you're actually selling things at.
What's the greatest threat to your business?
The greatest threat to our business is, in my mind, is right now just kind of top of mind. It's not growing quickly enough. So, you know, growing in the wrong ways, spending money in the wrong ways, and, you know, not spending it towards growing.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going too, Bill, is how do you scale? I mean, at what point is there an aha moment where you realize, oh, well, we're still a small business, but we have to keep growing? Is there another company that you look to that's like, okay, here's what they did, but maybe we can do it better? Or...
Yeah, that's a great question. We, you know, across the industry, you mentioned it earlier, there are digitally native brands, and they tend to raise a lot of financing through venture capital and big investors. And for us, we're still 100% bootstrapped. And so for us, it's been tough sort of weathering that chatter of the VCs and investors. And so for us, you know, we had a lot of early luck with an Amex commercial that we were selected for as a small business. And they featured us across the nation during March Madness, during the Oscars, on TED.com, which is all those are 100% of our, you know, in line with what we try to target as well. So we got really lucky with that. And so that was a nice, you know, good luck omen that we had. And, but as far as scaling goes, or as far as growing goes, you know, we always have this, being bootstrapped, we always have this constant struggle of, you know, do we hire people? Do we pay for people to join? Do we buy product, or do we invest in marketing and online brands? And so those are the three-legged stool that we're always having, you know, a struggle with of how to kind of invest in all three at once.
when you look at it, I mean, I think that there's this tendency. So you're known for the shirts. Mm-hmm. Do you then say, well, you know, it's getting a good pickup and maybe we should try shorts and maybe we should go to trousers and maybe we should go to accessories. Is that a constant thing that you're looking at?
It's something that we always hear externally, especially from customers who want to complete their look. They want to have suit pants with that blazer that they purchased from us. But for us, it's, you know, we try to focus on the torso, and we have this great sizing system that guys have come to love over the years. And, you know, the main focus for us is to continue to build out that that torso. And so for us right now, it's, you know, we have dress shirts is what we started. Then we went to blazers and then added some accessories like pocket squares and ties. And then now we're just starting to get a little bit more casual and getting into t-shirts and then hopefully polos by the end of this year. And so for us, there's always more to add in the torso for now. And that's kind of what we're focusing on, because once you get head to toe hue and cry, we don't think that the guy is going to come to us to purchase head to toe. And that's not what we do as individuals ourselves. And I'm sure that's not how you guys operate as well.
Well, I focus on my torso and I'm not too happy about it, to be honest with you.
Well, you can see your toes, right?
Yeah, well, it's a start.
It's half the battle.
It is half the battle.
Philip, I'd love to know more about the product itself. So Human Cry is both a manufacturer and a retailer, is that right?
That's correct.
And so what is your elevator pitch for the shirt? I mean, is it does it feel great on the skin? Does it's the right fit? I mean, what makes a Human Cry shirt so amazing?
Yeah, for us, the primary differentiator is the fit. We, you know, we have these 12 sizes that just fit guys a lot better. We like to say that we bridge the gap between custom and ready to wear. So we have the custom like fit, but the ready to wear perks. So, you know, you can leave our store with the product in hand. You can you know, order it online and receive it within a day. And so that's for us the main perk. That said, we do also manufacture in the same factories that manufacture a lot of the bigger brands that are known for having really nice quality. So quality is definitely something that we're squarely focused on as well.
Is it sourced domestically?
So our t-shirts are, our pocket squares are, and our ties are as well, but our dress shirts and our blazers are primarily manufactured in India. Mm-hmm. We are having some polos and other knit garments made in Peru. So, and then some dress shirts are made in Thailand as well.
You know, owning a small business is like a 24/7 proposition. You wake up in the morning, you go to work, you're working, you go home, you're online, you're checking, you go to bed, you dream about it, you wake up, and it starts all over again. And it's 7 days a week, particularly because you have the online presence. I mean, what's your escape? How do you get away from it without going crazy?
That sounds familiar. No, we try to use the sourcing trips as a nice respite for, you know, kind of getting away from all the alerts. You know, being in India, you don't always have service on your phone. And so, you know, lately in the last year or two, I've generally tried to minimize all notifications on my phone. So, you know, there's no, being 7 years in, there's no alert now that is truly a true fire alarm. You start to learn what is really important and what isn't. And at the end of the day, as long as the phone call, you know, notification is still active, that's the most important thing. So minimizing, you know, all of the apps that you have on your phone is really important for me. And then also taking on a meditation practice has helped a lot.
Very good. You talked about investing in the business and investing in people. Can you talk about what kind of culture you have at Human Cry, maybe your ideal person or someone on the team? Do they go on those sourcing trips with you as well?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we, for every year that you're at Human Cry, we have a present. And so the first year is a small shoe company based out of New York called Sabas, the Saba dealer. And so after your first year, you get a pair of Sabas from us. And so year three, however, is a trip on to the sourcing trip. So last year we took our longest tenured employee who's been with us for 3 years to Peru. And so we hiked the Inca Trail for 3 days and also did a 3-day retail conference where we met factories and took some factory tours, and he was along for that entire ride. So that was really special. And this year we have another one coming up.
Did you give him a week's vacation after that to to basically get back into the whole scheme of things? That sounds like a lot of work,
yeah.
The hiking especially. Do you think that, you know, as you look at where retail is evolving, and it's evolving very, very quickly, what do you think in terms of the whole, holistically, how retail presents itself today? If you were to look into the future, what do you think that looks like? I mean, so we talk about online, offline, brick and mortar, malls. I mean, what does it look like coming down the pike?
Yeah, I think that, you know, brands are going to get smarter as, you know, technology is going to evolve to sort of, you mentioned earlier the, you didn't say these words, but the buzzword omnichannel comes to mind.
I think I'm trying to eradicate that from the NRF.
Yeah. I think technology will, you know, fill in the gaps between those. We're still seeing a lot of, you know, issues with, you know, tracking the customer from an in-store experience to an online experience to a phone call. And I think that, you know, as time goes on, brands will be a lot more empowered with technology to sort of help the customer track across the life of those different touch points. And I think that we'll just be getting smarter as far as how to help that customer. And, you know, there is some part of like 1984 that comes to mind, but there is also some, you know, some great power behind that. And if you truly want to help your customer, I think it's a great, powerful thing. It'll be a powerful tool to have.
So the customer experience, I mean, in that relationship that you have with the customer, and everybody, you know, really focuses on that. Mm-hmm. I think if there's one thing that keeps them up at night, that's probably it. How do we do it better?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think something that we hear a lot at our shows from our members, content that we produce and read, is it seems almost like a pressure to, you know, test virtual reality, augmented reality. And as it grows out of its infancy, just kind of letting technology come to you rather than pushing yourself to embrace something too soon.
Definitely.
We're getting close to time. So, Tony, I'm going to give you the last question.
Well,
unless I think of something really good.
Perfect. I would just like to know what's next for Hue & Cry.
Yeah, for us, so we, you know, we're, as I mentioned earlier, we're looking at introducing polo shirts and, you know, becoming more of a 7-day brand is how we like to say it internally. So up until now, we've had, you know, the Monday through Friday you know, staples created for our customers. So dress shirts, blazers, ties, pocket squares, but we're looking to move more casually and, you know, also further down the road, we're looking at helping our customer more holistically across his life. You know, I mentioned earlier that he's looking across his life to see quality beyond just his apparel and his clothing. And so for us, it's focusing on how to sort of tap into this lifestyle is what's important to us.
And where can listeners go to learn more about Hue & Cry?
So best place is our website, hueandcry.com. It's hueandcrye.com.
That's excellent. We really appreciate you taking the time. One of the things we enjoy most is talking to entrepreneurs like you, and congratulations on your business. And this is, you know, a great opportunity for us to learn as well. Join us again. And if you want to learn more, find us at nrf.com.
You've been listening to Retail Gets Real, brought to you by NRF. For more information about the National Retail Federation, visit us online at nrf.com.